Turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the Christmas story together. Do you ever get tired of reading it? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the Christ. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told to them by the shepherd. But Mary kept them all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen as it was told. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great story? And it happened just like that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know how many. Are you still going to go back? Oh, you're not going back. Okay. Awesome. God's good, isn't he? I want to expound on this story a little bit. And I've learned some things recently that I think are just fantastic. And it brings another level of meaning to the story. If you'll look with me again at verse 8 of chapter 2, it says this: "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." These shepherds were not ordinary shepherds, because you see, Bethlehem was about 5 miles from Jerusalem. And as you know, the temple was in Jerusalem. And the temple required a lot of sheep to be sacrificed at different times, but most importantly, Passover and a Day of Atonement. The sheep were there, so they had to have sheep available to them. Well, these were special sheep that were for the sacrifices. And so this Bethlehem was kind of the center for the sheep. So people would come and get their sheep and go on. But here's what's interesting is that there was over... Now, listen to this. This would make the animal rights group just horrified. But there was over 260,000 sheep a year that were needed to do the sacrifices. 260,000. thousand. So actually Bethlehem, that was one of their things that they were known for, is they were the sheep farm for the sacrifices. Now these shepherds were not just ordinary shepherds, but they were shepherds of the Levitical tribe. And that's important because they had to inspect the sheep to make sure that they were qualified to be offered as a sacrifice. Right? Now watch this. This is really cool. We see the manger and the, you know, that they had no room in the inn, so they had to be out and we see this wooden structure, but that wasn't really the case. The case is it was a cave, right? And in the cave, the manger was not the wooden thing that we see, but a stone that was hewn out so that it could go in. So here's what the shepherds did. The shepherds would bring the sheep down, and then as their priestly duty, they would lay the sheep in this manger and inspect it after it was born. So the sheep were born in this or close to this and then brought in and inspected. And if they were deemed worthy by the shepherds, what they would do is they would take swaddling cloths and wrap them because the sheep were clumsy and they didn't want the sheep to be damaged when they were first born. So they swaddled them in these cloths, but these weren't just ordinary pieces of cloth that you get anywhere. These pieces of cloth were actually the priestly garments that were worn out when they were in the temples, and they brought them here to wrap the sheep in. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. So break that down just a little bit. That Jesus just happened to have to come to Bethlehem, right? Which was predicted, like in Micah, in different places, it was predicted that that's the town that the Savior would be born in. But not only that, the timing of it was perfect, right? And so watch this. There was no room in the inn because he needed to be inspected when he was first born so that he would be accepted as the sacrifice later. Isn't that awesome? And it wasn't just by any shepherd that was just haphazardly out in the field. It was the shepherds of the Levitical tribe that could absolutely certify that the lamb was worthy. Isn't that cool? That's just so awesome. But that's the kind of God that we serve, is every detail is on purpose. Every detail is for purpose. Every detail is not overlooked. Everything in the Old Testament leads up to the birth of the Messiah, and then everything after the birth of Messiah leads up to why he's the Messiah and what purpose the Messiah was sent for. Right? I mean, some of these songs that we're singing them, I'm just going, oh my Lord, yes. He died so that men no longer had to die. Right? We were away from God, but he came. Just the whole thought of it. Now, think about this. God, eternally God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're with each other for eternity. Our minds just go, we can't even comprehend that, right? And anybody that says they can, you know, just pray for them. But watch this. He, God, came and was put into Mary. Why? Because when they inspected that little lamb, it had to be spotless without any flaw. And any human being that was born by the seed of an earthly man was flawed. But not this lamb. Not this lamb. Come on. God is so good and he's so on top of it. He's so for us. He's so with us. Everything about it. Even the priests. And the cloths, everything together, just it's an incredible story. But I want to take you to a couple of different places and show you the significance of him being born for us, right? Jesus is your Christmas present, right? I mean, we do all the gifts, and I think that's an honor to kind of display, but, you know, we all know that that gets too far gone sometimes. But Jesus is our Christmas present, right? Go to Isaiah chapter 9. And there's a famous verse, and we'll get to that verse that's talked about at the birth of Jesus. But I want to take you a little bit before that. So in Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to start out in verse 1. As soon as I get there. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when it at the first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her, and by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. The rod of his oppressor is in the day of the Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, the garments rolled in blood, will be used for burning of fuel and fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order to establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Glory to God. You see, he's the one who's brought the light into the darkness. The world was cut off from true light because they had gone away from God, and God is the light, right? So when that baby was born and the angels were rejoicing, they were declaring some of these very things that we just read. Is that awesome? But they're not just declaring it for them, they're declaring it for us. I think the angels singing the same thing right now. If we'll really get into the Lord and really let his heart become our heart and really rejoice in the fact that the Savior, the Lamb of God, was born. He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. Jesus was the Lamb, and he brought great light into darkness, and he's the one that watches. The nation will increase. Why? Because he said to go into all the world, all peoples, and proclaim my name. And any of those who call on my name, whether they be Jew, whether they be Greek, whether they be Gentile, it doesn't matter, male, female, as long as they call upon my name as the Messiah, who was certified at birth to qualify, presented as the high priest, by the high priest, as the sacrificial lamb, right? Sacrificed and went up into heaven with his blood and put that before God, and it was declared holy, right? That all gets its genesis in the heart of God, but in the earth at the birth of Christ. Hallelujah. And we're all partakers of that, right? And so this day is not just a celebration of his birth, but it's a celebration of his destiny. And that destiny included you and me, right? Woo! You know, there's a whole lot of folks already in heaven, right? But that's not the family of God. That's part of the family of God. We're part of the family of God. Anybody who's named Jesus as Lord is as much a part of the family of God as those that have already gone there. Have you ever thought about that? He said, when you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. But when I think about eternal life, I think about being with God forever in heaven and heaven. That's true. And that's going to be wonderful. And all the sorrow and everything from here will be gone and there'll be no more. But the reality is Jesus has made a way where I could have eternal life right now. I can have the revelation of the light of the Word of God be a reality to me right now. I can live in His presence right now. Right? Because it's so good. Because for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. He's wonderful. More than amazing. Hallelujah. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's wonderful to me. Sandy Patty and Darnell Harris years ago sang a song, More Than Wonderful. I mean, if you've never heard that, it's old, but you need to get on YouTube and it'll send you, I'll tell you. It's just amazing. But part of this is in there. But he's wonderful. He's my counselor. He's your counselor, right? Right? Because he was qualified to be and qualified us. And we're identified with Him. He is, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Go with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John and the first chapter. I'm not going to keep you here long this morning, but I just got to rejoice with you about Jesus. Right? That Christmas is much more than the tree, although the tree is great. It's much more than the lights. Much more than pastor's fudge. It's much more than all of these things, right? It's about Him. Did anybody else have the same experience that I did? You got saved, and you may have grown up in the church. You knew about Jesus. Of course, you knew about Christmas, and you might have even gone to church on Christmas, but you weren't saved yet. And then you get saved, and you go, wow. How did I miss this? How wasn't this as real as it is to me this morning? Because it's so true. And He lives on the inside of me. Right? Every one of the holidays that we celebrate became more and more real to me. Because Jesus is in the midst of it. So good. So good. John chapter 1. And look at verse 29. This is John the Baptist now. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, the Passover lamb was called the Lamb of God. So when Jesus walks up to John and he's got all the people around, he said, Look, there he is, the lamb that was certified, right, at his birth. I'm declaring to you, is the lamb. Glory to God. So make it that your sins are passed over. Okay, look at verse 36. Oh, we'll start at verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples looking at Jesus as he walked. And he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. See, John was a big deal. Right? He had disciples that followed him because he was showing them parts of God that nobody had ever showed them. And he was out in the wilderness doing things that, why aren't you in the synagogue? Because I can't deal with those people. I'm going to be out here doing what I'm doing. But he was a big deal and the disciples were drawn to him. But at this moment, he was declaring, I'm not the one, but that's the one. And you'll see that even his disciples who had been with him said, now we're going to follow the Lamb of God. He was proclaimed to be the Lamb of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. He's alive. He's real. He's with us. He's in us. See, do you understand? And this is so good. Do you understand that God is not mad at you? That the greatest gift that's ever been given is the gift of His Son. And it says that He gave Him to you because He loves you. He loves you. So when we're opening the gifts at Christmas or we're going through all the festivities, it's like, Jesus loves me. The Father loves me. He loves me so much that He gave Himself for me. And Jesus was declared to be the love of God given to man. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 18. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without spot or without blemish. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For through Him, believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. But with the precious blood of Christ. See that day again when He was born and He was laid in the manger and the shepherds came to Him and said, ah. Because they'd heard the angel say, here's the one. I'm declaring to you, great joy has come. Peace on earth has come. The great light has come. And they went and they certified the one who was wrapped in the priestly garments already and swaddling clothes, right? Because He was adorned to be the Savior of the world. We did a play years ago. The kids put it on at Christmas time. It was wonderful. But it was Born to Die. Right? I think every manger should have a cross above it. But that's just my opinion, because His purpose for coming was to bring us with Him into eternity. Amen? Hallelujah. Christmas is about Jesus. Amen? The saying, Jesus is the reason for the season, that's all true, but Jesus is the season. Jesus is everything. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for this morning, Lord. Again, I'm in awe of You. You plan out every minute detail. Your creation is so put together that if even a couple of things were off, we'd be spinning throughout the galaxy. But You put it so precisely together the moment that Jesus came would define the rest of history. And Lord, I thank You this morning that all of us, we get so busy and so wrapped up into other things that we almost let them become idols to us. This morning, we want to declare Your love for us, but we also want to declare our allegiance to You. So Lord, with everybody that's here and hopefully everybody that's listening, we just bow our hearts before You. We know our need of a Savior. We know our need of the sacrificial Lamb that was called the Lamb of God. We know that we need that personally. And for those of us who've received Jesus as our Lord, we're so ever grateful. And we can only bow before you and cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Well, Lord, all of those that are watching online or maybe in the room that have never made Jesus or taken advantage of the gift that Jesus is, Lord, I pray that this morning, wherever they are, that they would just bow before you and say, I see it. For the first time at Christmas, I see it. He was born with a purpose, and the purpose was to provide the way for reconciliation. God, I need to be with you, so I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for your anointing here. I thank you for the angels that are with us, Lord. And I thank you, God, for your goodness. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. I thank you for your presence. And we give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.